Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, please. We go back to our study in the writings of Paul to the church in Corinth. And just to refresh your memory, just so briefly, Paul has been dealing with this issue centering around marriage. The church in Corinth had some very diverse views, to put it very, very simply. Some very diverse views about what marriage was. We had the faction within the church that was given overly to sexual immorality and did not hold to the marriage at all. And then we had the other faction that we might refer to as the aesthetics, those who, even within marriage, believed and taught in a total abstinence because they felt like the relations between a man and woman were of this earth and therefore were unclean. And so, just in that little short summary, you can see the great confusion that the church in Corinth was experiencing in and around the relationships and in and around marriage. Well, there was another issue facing the church. And this was a byproduct of something very good that was going on in the church. We had the church, non-believers, coming to know Christ, coming to know the salvation of Jesus Christ, and then within the family, there may be one who is converted and one who is not in the early days of the founding of the church. And so here then we have another tension in the home of a believer and a non-believer. This is the home I was raised in. My mom, the consummate teacher, Sunday school teacher, my dad was not a believer while I was at home. And while my dad and mom were, it at times caused tension. And I can see here what Paul is speaking to in this tension of having one that is converted to the faith, one that is not. How are we supposed to live and make this work? Paul teaches us here, and we begin in verse 10. To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and a husband must not divorce his wife. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. He should not become circumcised, excuse me. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's command is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation where he was when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freed man. Similarly, he who was a freed man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man is responsible to God, should remain in the situation God has called him to. May the Lord add the blessings, reading of his word. Now, there's two principles that I first want to hold here before you. First of all, he starts out to the married. These who are married. He is commanding that a wife must not separate from her husband, or a husband should not remain or should not divorce the wife. This is the Christian teaching. As I will get into here just in a few moments, our God is very clear. He hates divorce. Hates divorce. The word hate is used very, very seldom in Scripture, but when it is used, it carries a great weight. And so he is telling us here, to the married woman, do not divorce your husband. To the married man, do not divorce your wife. If you do, do all you can to be reconciled. Now, to the rest, and here's where we get into the tension by one being a believer and one being an unbeliever. He's basically saying, if the non-believing individual will maintain a peace and live in the home, then let that remain as it is. As he goes on into the lower portion of what I've just read, Paul is telling us to stay in the situation of which we find ourselves and where God has called us to be in that place. And here, if a wife has an unbelieving husband and he is willing to live in peace with her, then remain. And vice versa. If the wife is believing and the husband is not, the object here is to live at peace. And just because you have an unbeliever as a spouse does not give you the right of divorce. But look at verse 15. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. If the unbelieving believer leaves, let her do so. It is an equal application to either. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. Meaning, if the unbeliever finds great tension and does not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit within the marriage, then they are indeed free to leave, and the lone spouse who is a believer will not be held in adultery if that unbeliever leaves. This is where we in the Christian faith get our grounds for divorce named desertion. If there is desertion in the home, then that is an applicable grounds for divorce, and I will get into that more in just a moment. But why does God, through Paul here, encourage us to live in peace even if it is with a non-believing spouse? Look at verse 16. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? How do you know that you will not be the instrument that leads your spouse to salvation in Jesus Christ? That's exactly where my home was as I was growing up. As I said, my dad was not a believer. But they lived in peace. And over time, my mother, through her patient teaching, was the instrument used to convert my father. And today my father is a believing man and prays more righteously than I could ever hope to. And that is what God is after here through the teaching in Paul, is to understand that if you are married to a non-believer, then you are encouraged to live at peace within that context, because you might be the very instrument God uses to bring that individual to salvation. But why? Why are we so concerned with this idea of marriage? Why does the Scriptures hold so highly this covenant of marriage? Why is it that the marriage is used as Jesus Christ's illustration between him and the church? Because it is the beautiful metaphor of the peaceful relationship that he desires with his people. The marriage is the world's illustration to the relationship in Jesus Christ. The marriage is to be the illustration to the world of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when our marriages are in disarray, it shows the world that illustration. Divorce. God hates divorce. God hates divorce. Yet he has given us two allowances for divorce. Now please understand how I said that. It is allowances. They are not commands. God has given two allowances for divorce, not two commands. The one allowance is here. It is referred to as desertion, as I've said. The other, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He is speaking to those outside the city of Jerusalem. And he's speaking on the topic of divorce here, just quite briefly. But verse 32, he says, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Divorce is something, as I've said, God hates. But he has given two allowances to help the family to maintain a certain level of peace. And if the habitual nature of adultery finds itself in a marriage, then that is an allowance for divorce, and the parties can separate, and if they go further into relationships, there is not the idea of adultery. But for any other case, for any other circumstance of divorce, what is the common phrase today? Irreconcilable differences. Biblically, that is not a grounds for divorce. And if individuals divorce on those grounds and then engage in relationships further, then those parties are guilty of adultery, because they have violated the first marriage. Why does God hate divorce so much? Why is he so strict here? Go with me to Malachi. This is just one book to your left. It is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament teaching. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. Malachi 2, 13. Now, Malachi is speaking to the nation of Judah. They have rebelled greatly against God. They have forgotten his commands. They have violated his covenants, etc., etc., etc. And Malachi is saying to them in verse 13 of chapter 2, another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offering or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask why. Basically, they're asking, why, God, have you turned your back on us? Listen to the answer. It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth. Because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? Because he is seeking godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. God is tying the validity of one's faith to the covenant of marriage. Because marriage is that illustration of the supreme love two people find together, where God has brought them together and made one. And when we violate that, we are violating that covenantal bond that represents the love God has for his church. Notice this. He says, I hate a man covering himself with violence. Divorce, even when followed through under the context of these allowances biblically, brings great violence to the people. Now, don't look at the word violence as a crime committed. That's not what it's speaking of. But disunity, disharmony, the trials and the tribulations, the heartaches that are associated with breaking that bond of marriage for the individuals, for the families, for the children, etc. And so God says, I hate divorce because it is violating the covenants of which I stand. But there's another reason. And this is where I'd like to leave you today. Because it says it here in Malachi, but also in the passage I read in Corinthians, it makes reference to this. Verse 15 of Malachi. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are His. And why one? Because He was seeking godly offspring. He is seeking godly offspring. So through the covenant God has made in the corporation of marriage, He is looking for the fruit out of that marriage to be those children who are raised in a godly atmosphere that are raised to honor and to love Him. How will the individuals who will make up the kingdom of God come into this world? It is through the marriage, the children being born, the children being raised up and finding the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Back in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 16. 14. The latter half of 14. He's calling on the families to live in peace. He says, if you don't, otherwise your children would be unclean. As it is, they are holy. God is calling for us to live at peace, even if there's only one believer in the household. One believer in the household. Maintain that peace because it brings the children into a place of being holy. Now, please understand what the word holy means. It does not mean salvation. But holy means sanctified. Means to be set apart, to be seen different from the world in God's eyes. I do the same thing when we bring our children here to be baptized. And I ask that you parents, will you raise these children to come to know and to love and to serve Jesus Christ? We are fulfilling what these scriptures here are encouraging us, teaching us to do. To raise our children to be holy. To raise our children to be godly offspring. And what does it mean to raise a child in a godly fashion? It means that they experience the love and the grace and the mercy that is Jesus Christ. And where will they find that? Within the marriage. When mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, are living out that example before them. And they see mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa holding hands and kissing and loving. And when there's a fight, now I know all of you don't get in arguments, probably just me and Judy, but when there's those arguments, when you make up, making up's fun. The children witness that, and they see the grace extended. And when you begin talking about the grace of Jesus Christ, oh, when mama fussed at you and you forgave her, is that what that's like? Yes, that's grace. This is what Paul is talking about. This is what he's trying to teach the church in Corinth. Live at peace within your home. Extend grace and mercy to your spouse, especially when they don't deserve it, because that is showing the offspring within the home what it means to understand the love and the grace from God through Jesus Christ to you. You do not deserve it, but that is the love of God. I know there are individuals in this room who have gone through divorce, and it's hard, terrible. In your particular situation, I don't know, may not have necessarily fit into the categories of which I've given here. And please understand, God has not turned His back on you because there is forgiveness. There is grace. We have all violated God's commands.
yet the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is there for all of us. But we as Christians are called upon to construct our homes, our marriages, in a godly fashion, so that the Lord God will have godly offspring.